We have one additional message of love and greeting. For our second discourse of the morning, Brother Jerry Leslie has chosen as his subject, The Last Days. The Last Days. Brother Jerry.
Thank you, Brother Joe. It is really an immense blessing to join with the Lord's people. It's been some time since we've been in Chicago, and it's been a very refreshing season. Just before we enter our lesson, I want to reflect briefly on a couple of things. Our class in Portland does have a convention in August, 18, 19, and 20. And we brought a few programs, not so many to put out on the table, but any of you that think that you might be able to come our way in August, I do have 8 or 10 programs and would encourage you to ask me for them and look them over. We would be delighted to have you with us. Secondly, I want to reflect on how this world seems to be shrinking. As I stand here and I see faces of brethren that I first met in Poland 15 years ago, now are sitting at this convention together. Imagine that, halfway around the world. A few months ago, last year, we were in Baia Mare and had the privilege of showing in Romania, showing for this cause. And this morning's sessions was sitting brethren from Baia Mare. We have brethren from Romania here. So our family ties, in some ways, are coming closer, and in some ways, our family circle, our arms want to reach around the globe to those that we are not with. But it is an immense blessing to be together. You know, looking at our privileges at this convention, we've had the privilege of following in the wake of others who have paved the way with parts of the subjects that we've also been considering. But perhaps it's because we are thinking along the same lines in these times. And our lesson this morning follows somewhat of the thoughts that Brother Len Grice gave yesterday, and also some of the thoughts that Brother Bob Gray gave. So if we tend to reemphasize some things, consider that they are important subjects for these times. There are duties appropriate for Christians in all times past. There are admonitions to live a responsible and a godly life. There are responsibilities to serve one another without self-gain. There is the commitment to let our light shine and not to hide it. But the last days of the gospel age bring some special opportunities and duties to focus. It is a momentous time to be living. We want to understand the immediacy and implications of this time. The last days means that a generation of Christians, of consecrated brethren, with a commitment to the sacrifices of the sin offering, will be the last. Brother Bran emphasized this last night. There will, at some point, not be another generation to pass this message of spiritual salvation on to. At some time soon, ours will be to stand courageously, knowing that this same torch will not be picked up by another generation. The vision will end with the last generation of the church in the flesh. That is not to say there is no message or mission passed on to others with earthly prospects. We do have a kingdom message. We also believe the door is still open at this time to those who will, even at this hour, take up the cause of Christ. But we are closer to its close than when we first believed. This is a transition time. The darkening night holds mixed motives for society. Satan and the fallen angels are in chaos. There is a death struggle going on for the governments and kingdoms of earth to survive their sentence. Their beastly nature is displayed daily in the news. We also hear genuine cries for justice and equity. The Lord's great army is doing its work by exposing both hope and despair in the public media, especially television. It exposes every noble and ignoble pursuit. Financial exploitation is exposed. The United Nations' ineffectiveness in their presence in Bosnia is held up to the world. The marketing of worldly church systems is held up to public view. We understand in the greater Chicago area here there is a new modern church with a $13 million budget annually. That means they have more than $1 million expenses each month of the year to promote their high-tech causes. All these unique events of the end times, these last days, point to some special opportunities and responsibilities for us before the dark night settles when no man can work. It is the time from which the Church of Philadelphia was spared. Revelation 3, verse 10. I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Our duties are both personal and public. First, we want to look at some of the personal aspects. We must not be pulled into the controversies, moral compromise, or divisive schemes of this social generation. Our Lord's prayer for us has special meaning in this time. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. And also 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, as well as 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 5. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Defilement with the world has always been a problem, but especially in the last days when compromise is made so easy. We want to read to you a quote from a Tower article, and we'll tell you where it is in a moment. Infidelity is already as a pestilence, a miasma, abroad throughout the world. It is in the storeroom, the streetcar, on the railroad, in the newspapers, in the Sunday schools, and in the churches. everywhere as a pestilence. It goes suiting itself to the various surroundings. It is in the street, outspoken, in the paper, a joke, or a side cut at Christianity. In the Sunday school and pulpit, it is toned down, yet nonetheless powerful, as it suggests that it is not best to think of the seeming incongruities of Jonah and the great fish, or Samson or Joshua and the sun. Another form of this pestilence is lack of faith and trust in the promises of God. The promises are quoted in prayer and so forth, yet a fulfillment is seldom expected. The doctrines and traditions of men are sought and accepted more readily than the Word of God. There is a form of godliness without the power. It is really unbelief. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in the earth? Yes, infidelity is systematically and rapidly undermining the confidence of the most enlightened. In sacred things, and its power and influence are increased by the fact that so very many of the doctrines which it assails are really false, wood, hay, and stubble. But as one doctrine after another, which once they held sacred, is torn to shreds, they begin to doubt all and are in danger of throwing away the truths as well, so great is their distrust. Some will be taken in as a snare. All who are not watching and who have not the light of God's word upon the pathway in which they tread will be ensnared by the strong arguments and deep-laid plans of error. It is only the faithful and trusting that shall be unharmed. Those who can say, "He is my refuge and fortress, my God, in him will I trust," they will stand the arrows the wicked shoot out, arrows, even bitter words, the scoffs and derision which will attach to all who will then claim to bear the name of Christ will be too much for many. It will pierce and wound and cause them to retire unless they have for a shield and buckler God's truth. Only a clear and harmonious understanding of God's word, the truth, will enable us to withstand the various and powerful attacks of this time. The apostle foresaw this time and warns us of the evil day. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, and so forth. Brethren, this was written 116 years ago. It was written in 1879, page 36 of the First Tower. We would suggest as one of our duties in these last days is to stay focused. This is really in the line of the admonition, "This one thing I do, and I am determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." It is a special need in these last days. Let us read Luke 21, 34 to 36. Luke 21, 34. "Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare it shall come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." These days are filled with many things that we can choose to do. Our times have relieved much of the tedium and opened more options than we can handle. The television, theater, music, libraries, computers, plane travel, telephone, cellular phones, the internet, faxes, cars and their high-tech maintenance, the news media, bills, financial planning and investments, medical options and insurance. mishandled business relationships, changes in our employment careers and training. And to put it all together, we are given daily time planners to keep track of every 30 minutes of our day, and if we choose, every 15 minutes. We are overloaded with news and information. Consider all that your mind processes in a day. Just think about it. You can turn to one channel on the television and view today's events in Bosnia and Serbia. You can change another channel and see the bloodletting in Chechnya, the starvation on another news report in Somalia and Rwanda. I heard one statistic, and I know that you can generate statistics to support almost any position, but at least in some perspective, I know that we realize it is true, that our minds in one day process up to 1,000 times more information than our forefathers, our grandfathers processed. Certainly more than they would process in a year as far as information we are bombarded with. Our minds process more and more. True, the mind is capable of processing much more, but in our fallen condition, it pushes us to overload. What happens, for those of you who have a little electrical background, when you try to draw through 60 or 120 amps through a 15-amp circuit? You may blow a fuse. And sometimes this is what is happening to our emotional, nervous state in today's society. We need to be selective in what information we process. We cannot process all of it. Sometimes we must stop and consider the lilies, the small, gentle, beautiful promises of God, and reassure ourselves. There are many opportunities and resources in these last days, but they can fill the mind and our life with more than a tranquil focus on our sanctification and making our calling and election sure. We need to sort through our tools and use them in a spiritual way. We must not allow distraction to move us from our single purpose for living, for which we once defined at consecration. It was very simple and very focused. Have we been distracted? The challenge is to maintain our direction in these last days. Proverbs 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Isaiah 29, verse 11. The vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this. I pray thee, and he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. But brethren, the book has been delivered to you. Let our eye be clear on the purpose and a view to our sanctified mission, and let us not be derailed. Another of our duties in these last days is to hold up the weary hands of those who are nearly fainting under the load of these last days. Just as Hur and Aaron stayed up the hands of Moses while Joshua battled with Amalek. When we were young, others faithfully prayed for the work.
And perhaps we were privileged to enter into the labor for which they prayed. When we are older, we can hold up the hands and faith of others, lest they become faint-hearted. It is our privilege to hold up one another's hands. We can comfort others as we have been comforted. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 4. The admonition to wash one another's feet carries more than a thought of humble service, but to cleanse and to refresh the feet, the last members of the body of Christ in the last days. We can pray for, and as Brother Bob reminded us, with the weary and the faint. James 5. 1 Peter 1, verse 22. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. And Romans 13, verse 8. Owe no man anything but what? But to love one another. That is a debt we owe. We have been loved. And if we do not love others, we reflect a lack of appreciation of that which we have received. That we do owe. Advice is needful for both local and brethren abroad. It does not end with our families nor our ecclesias. It must extend to all those who are under greater constraint than ourselves. We must reach as far as we can to all of the feet members around this globe. How easy it is to forget this duty amidst our own struggles to stem the tide in these last days. Therefore, let us speak the truth and in love. Not in self-righteousness or self-vindication or to judge and deride or divide others. We're going to end our discussion of private duties with those two things, to stay focused and to lift the weary hands. Let us now look at a second set of duties that are more public. John the Baptist was an example of both private and a public man. As such, he is a figure of the church in the last days. He was diminishing, as are we. While the Christ beyond the veil is increasing, he was working to confirm the faith and the faithful, and also speaking out publicly on issues of injustice. He followed in the tradition of Elijah, who both taught in the school of the prophets and confronted the priests of Baal. Our public duty is to declare the judgments written and also to point to the silver lining beyond the clouds, to proclaim liberty to the captives, Isaiah 61. As with Elijah, we may at times succumb to discouragement. But if we do, we may hear as with him, "Why stand thou here, Elijah? Yet I have left 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal." So our duty is to be faithful watchmen and to declare what we see. But we are not to enter into the world's struggles. While we have the sword of the Spirit, we are not to hack away with its broad edge to beat down an enemy, but to use the fine, sharp point, to insert the truth on any occasion and state it clearly with a finger pointing to the Word of God. The battle is not yours, but the Lord's. Let His Word speak for you. Let us stand and watch the salvation of our God as in this day of the Lord. This includes announcing the purpose and the outcome of these last days. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Joel 2, verse 1. It has been sounding since the king has returned and is triumphantly sweeping away the old order and establishing the new. If the Lord's side of this battle is for the oppressed of humanity, how can we be indifferent to the cries of justice and their desire for a hope? These last days also hold a special message for the people of Israel. Before these last days, the message was not opportune, for they were still under a cast-off double of disfavor. But now, the last time has come for their recovery and preparation to become God's representative of earth's new covenant. The covenant will be made with the seed of Jacob, and from them extend to the restored race under the mediator. What is our message for them? We are told very clearly in Isaiah 40. We will read a few verses. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. O Zion, that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. This too is part of the Jubilee trumpet. It is our duty and privilege to proclaim the good tidings. If we are faithful, this work will continue even beyond the veil of this flesh. This is the point made in Revelation 14, verse 13. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. The works will continue as an ongoing process, contemporary with our times and events and services now. This was not a privilege of the sleep that the sleeping saints had, for their awakening was in a different social stream than we know. Not so with us. The same works begun here will continue, but with greater powers. Think about it. Just think about it. What do you want to do in the resurrection change? What do you really want to do? And then ask yourselves, what are we doing now? Because that's what you will be doing then. With a different dimension, for sure. But you will be declaring the truth, offering the world hope, comfort, and peace. You will be declaring the judgments written as the old order is removed. You will be restoring the children to their mothers, the brokenhearted and the faint, and lifting them up. Is that part of our message now? Their works do follow them. If we are not faithful with what God has put in our hands, there may yet be another generation to fill up that which is behind. For God will have the 144,000 for Christ's bride. Not one will be lacking. If we can be faithful, and we can, Let us stand courageously, sealing and completing the work of the gospel age, and so be part of the ushering in of the new covenant blessings, and to end earth's weary night. So, brethren, let us sum up some of our duties in these last days. They are certainly not the only ones. They may not be the most important ones, but they are important. Stay focused. Remember where your consecration began, and don't lose track of the vision. Hold up the hands of the weary, of our brethren, near and far. We need each other in these last days. Watch and declare what you see. You are the Lord's representatives. You are His eyes in the earth. Let us be clear in our message and declaring what we see. And let us comfort Israel. So we will conclude by reading a couple of texts. Hebrews 12:25. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. And this word yet once more signify the removing of those things which are shaken, and of as of things which are made, as those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. 2 Peter 3:11. Seeing then that all these things are being dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. And finally, Jude 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God and Savior be glory and majesty and dominion and power, both now and forever.
Thank you, Brother Jerry, for those timely suggestions and admonitions for these days, these last days in which we live. And we'll be led in closing prayer by Brother Jerry.
Our gracious Father in heaven, we just want to come to Thee with our open hearts and desire to finish our consecrated commitments unto Thee, to be faithful in the little and the larger duties and responsibilities. Help us to be faithful examples of the feet members of Christ. Help us to partake more of His life and spirit, to serve one another, declare Thy truth, to live it, and to be transformed by it. Now, Father, we ask Thy blessing upon the kindly, lovingly provided temporal portion. Please watch over our fellowship. The words shared may be holy and sanctified. Keep us humble and teachable. Bring us off victorious. We ask in the blessed name, the merit of Jesus. Amen.